Just as a branch can't produce fruit if it's cut off from the tree, we can't be productive Christians if we're cut off from Christ. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah reveals the folly of trying to bear fruit with our own strength and ingenuity without the life of Jesus flowing through us. From his series, Signs of Life, here's David to introduce today's message, Dusty Shoes, Living a Productive Life.
Well, thank you for joining us. You're in a good place here in the Turning Point study sequence. We have just started this new series called The Five Signs of Life. We have talked about living a relevant life, being salt and light, and today we're going to talk about productivity. How can I be a productive Christian? What does it mean to be fruitful as a follower of Christ? The central passage on that is in the book of John, the 15th chapter. We'll look at that section of Scripture in just a moment as we continue our journey through these wonderful topics that help us understand how to be relevant in our walk with Christ. Well, I'm anxious to get started with this teaching. It is an incredible passage of Scripture where we learn what it means to be fruitful as a follower of Christ. So open your Bibles to John 15 and let's begin our study.
We have an immeasurable power available to us as the children of God. He's given us great gifts and equipment. But if we are never connected to Jesus Christ for the source of power and energy, we end up living far below our potential. One of the things that John chapter 15 teaches us is that God wants us to be productive and successful as his followers. It's interesting that the 14th chapter of John ends with Jesus and his disciples finishing a discussion, and it says, "Arise, let us go from here." So they left the upper room. And most scholars believe that as they walked out of the upper room, they walked along the valley, and there were many of the orchards and the vineyards that are so much a part of the landscape of Israel. And Jesus, stopping as he often did to take advantage of the props that the Creator had provided for him, looked at the vines and then said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." He begins to talk about the vine and the branches and the fruit as an illustration of the importance of his disciples and, of course, of us, understanding that he wants us to be fruitful, but our fruitfulness is dependent upon our staying connected to the source that creates the fruit in the first place. He teaches us in this passage of Scripture that while he wants us to be productive, we cannot be productive as Christians through our own energy, through our own strength, through our own ingenuity and creativity, but that as we stay focused on who he is in our lives, as we allow his life to flow into our life, then there is no limit to what he will do through us. The priority in the passage is on the importance of us being productive. Almighty God never ever envisioned Christians who would simply say a prayer to receive Christ and then become inactive or passive from that moment on. He always envisions us as followers who are a part of the work that he has called us to do in this world, in the kingdom. He tells us very, very pointedly in verse 5 that without him, we can do nothing. Now, often that verse is misunderstood and oftentimes misapplied. And the commentaries are filled with all kinds of craziness about what this means. I read this week that when God wants to make the angels laugh, he lets them read the commentaries. I don't know if that's true or not, but I understand that thought. What Jesus is not saying is that there's not anything we can do. We can raise a family, we can have a good job, we can go through life, but what he is saying is this: if you want to have a life that is measured by what you do for Christ and the influence you have for him and things that will last even beyond your life on this earth, if you want to have a life that has significance, you can't do that on your own. You have to do that through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two verses that balance themselves off in the scripture. This one, which says, without me you can do nothing. And then the word in Philippians, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the issue. Now, we can go through life trying to manufacture fruit. We can tie false fruit on our lives. We can try to make people believe we're fruitful, but down in our hearts we'll know we're not. In the Bible, the concept of fruit bearing is very prevalent. Here in the 15th chapter of John, the word fruit is mentioned 8 times. In the Old Testament, you will find it 106 times. And then when you come to the whole of the New Testament, you'll find it 70 more times. Almost 200 times in the Old and New Testament, we find this concept of fruit as it is an illustration of our productiveness as followers of Christ. In fact, every one of the New Testament books except Philemon and 2nd and 3rd John has something to say about being fruitful. Every one of the letters that Paul wrote to the church to explain how to live the Christian life has within it the concept of being fruitful. It is a truth that is prominent in the Word of God, and especially in the New Testament. Why is it so important that we understand what it means to be fruit-bearing Christians? Why is it important? Well, I'd like to suggest to you 6 reasons for you to consider. First of all, it is important because your fruitfulness is the mark of your genuine faith. In the Bible, it is very clear that it is impossible to be a Christian without having evidence to demonstrate it. In Matthew 7:20, we read, therefore, by their fruit you will know them. In Matthew 12:33, we read, for a tree is known by its fruit. If one is a Christian, he will have fruit in his life. He will have evidence of his relationship to Christ in his life. If he does not have any fruit, he is a professing Christian, but there is no life in him. You say, Pastor Jeremiah, is it possible for such a person to exist? Someone to say they're a Christian and not really be one? Well, let me remind you that this passage of Scripture comes to us in the context of John 13, where we have the whole story of Judas. Judas, who not only professed to be a follower of Christ, but was one of his intimate disciples. Judas, who walked with Christ throughout all of his earthly life until the very end. Judas, who was trusted to be the treasure of the disciples. But Judas, who betrayed Jesus, and Judas, who the Bible says went to his own place and was never, ever a true follower of Christ. He was an imposter. It is possible. And this may be disconcerting to some of us. It is possible to go through the motions of being a Christian, telling everybody we are Christians, letting everybody think we go to church or we do this and this, and therefore we're followers of Christ, but not have any reality within us. The Bible is very clear about this, that if a person is outwardly linked with Christ and inwardly linked with Christ, there will be some evidence of it in his life. Fruit bearing is important, first of all, because if there isn't any evidence of your relationship with Christ in your life, the probability is you never were connected with him in the first place. What I'm trying to say to us, and this is very important for us to understand, and that is Jesus Christ will make a difference in your life. He will make a difference. It may not be a huge difference, it may not be a small difference, but he will make a difference in your life. So fruit bearing is important because it's the mark of your genuine faith. Secondly, it's important because it's the measure of your walk with God. If you go through John 15, you will find 3 different phrases that qualify our fruitfulness. In verse 2, we are told that you can have some fruit. In the same verse, it says you can have more fruit. But later on in verse 5, it says you can have much fruit. In other words, not all of the followers of Christ are as productive as others. In other words, There are levels of productivity. When a person first becomes a Christian, they don't have influence and productivity. They aren't making a huge difference in their faith, but they're starting. They have some fruit. But the Bible says as we walk with the Lord, as we continue to be connected with Him, as we grow in our faith, God gives us the opportunity to grow in our influence and our productivity. And so one of the ways you measure your walk with the Lord is to see if you're having any more influence, any more value in the kingdom. Are you being used of the Lord more than you have in the past? Every year at the new year, I like to take a little inventory in my life. Sometimes it's discouraging to me. Can I get a witness? But every year I try to ask the Lord in certain areas of my life, is there a demonstration that I'm making progress, that I'm walking with Him, that I'm overcoming some of the things through His power that have troubled me in the past? And there ought to be some evidence of your growth. And the way you can determine whether you're growing is to just examine the influence God has given you. Is He using you? We're going to talk about the specific issues of fruitfulness in just a moment, and that will help us. The theme of chapter 15 is abiding, and it tells us that as we abide more in Christ, the more we are connected with Him, the more He will begin to do in our lives, and we'll begin to marvel sometimes that God is using us in such an amazing way. So fruitfulness is important because it's the mark of your genuine faith, and it's the measure of your walk with God. Thirdly, and here's an important thought, and I want to dwell on this just a moment because this is very pertinent to me at this particular time. It's the motivation behind God's discipline. In the passage of Scripture, it talks about the fact that the vine dresser comes into the vineyard at certain parts of the year, and he purges the vine. Here in California, we have so many vineyards, and at a certain time of the year, vine keepers cut certain things off of the vines in the vineyard. Some of them are called sucker shoots. They're little pieces of leaf that go out of the vine that don't have any fruit on them. They just suck up all the sap that's in the vine and take all of the energy out of the vine that could be used to create more fruit. I mean, let's face it, the purpose of a vineyard is grapes. Can I get a witness? That's what it's all about. It's grapes. It's not beautiful leaves. It's not attractive vines. It's grapes. That's what the purpose is. So the vine dresser comes into the vineyard, and he goes along the vine, and he cuts off the meaningless sucker shoots and leaves and many of things that have a tendency to take the energy out of the vine that was meant for the fruit and use it for a meaningless purpose. And the Bible says that when a person is bearing fruit, this is what the Scripture says, the Lord Jesus says the vine dresser comes and he purges the vine so that the vine that is bearing fruit will bear more fruit. Now let's put this in a contemporary window box for all of us today. We are very busy people, all of us. Some of you, you have so many things going on, it's just tiresome even to think about it. I know that lifestyle. But if we're honest, we can look over the span of our lives and we can see that God has chosen in a very special way to significantly bless some of the things that we do more than others. And if we're not careful, we can get so spread out in all that we do that our effectiveness in the thing God called us to do is minimized because there's not enough energy to go there because it's being used in all of the sucker shoots of our life. This is a constant time of evaluation for us as believers. You know, when I first started out in the ministry, I thought that if anybody asks you to do anything for the Lord, you should just say yes. I assumed anybody asked you to do something from the Lord told them to do it, so you should do it. I discovered real quickly, the Lord had nothing to do with some of the things people wanted me to do. It was what they wanted me to do, but not God. I found out that I had to find out from Almighty God what He wanted me to do, and not just do what everybody else wants me to do. And I have gone through a period of time recently where I've had to say, Lord, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And then I came to this passage of Scripture and it was like a revelation from Almighty God. David, this is happening so that you can be more focused on what I have called you to do, so that you don't get caught up in all of the things that draw you away from the main focus and the main purpose of your life. Have any of you had an experience like that? And we're always in that process. And here's the good news. It is only the vine that's bearing fruit that experiences that. If you're a fruitless vine, why would anybody purge you? Purging you is not going to help you to bear any more fruit if you're not bearing any fruit already. But so take courage. If you're going through some times of discipline and challenge and things you don't understand, get back from it a little bit and say, Lord God, what are you doing in my life? And you may discover, if God has been using you, that He is taking the pruning knife and taking some things out of your life so that you can have more fruit in the area where He has called you and where He has equipped you. That's an important part of this passage. So many times we think that anytime there's suffering, it's bad. Lord, preserve me from suffering. Now, I have to honestly confess, I don't ever sign up for suffering. I don't ever get up in the morning and say, Lord, send suffering into my life today. I have prayed for patience, and then I learned that's not a very good thing to do, because the Bible says tribulation works patience. So when you pray for patience, you get tribulation, so I don't recommend you do that. But suffering comes often for a follower of Christ for the purpose of pruning. Malcolm Muggeridge, in his book, Jesus Rediscovered, says it this way. Suppose you eliminated suffering. What a dreadful place this world would be. The world would be the most ghastly place. Now listen. Because everything that corrects the tendency of this unspeakable little creature to feel overimportant and overpleased with himself would disappear. This little creature's bad enough now, he said, but he would be absolutely intolerable if he never suffered. He's absolutely right. So, fruitfulness is the mark of our genuine faith. It's the measure of our walk with God. It's the motivation behind God's discipline. And number four, it's the method of touching other people. This is a very important concept from this chapter. When we bear fruit, it's not for ourselves. It's for others. When we are fruitful, when we are productive, it's not so that we can have more, so that we can enjoy more. You know, we're as a church across the world now, we're on this happiness trip. Have you noticed? Everybody wants what they can get from God for themselves. Everyone's talking about how Jesus Christ does this for me, and I get this from God and that from God. And when a person talks like that, they have evidently missed the purpose of the Christian faith. God never blesses us just for ourselves. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen? If you are always looking at the vine so you can eat the fruit, you've missed it. How many of you have a computer here? Well, I've been a computer person for a long time, but I'm very focused on a computer. I don't do anything but type sermon manuscripts. Don't try to teach me another program. I don't want to learn it. I just want to type manuscripts. Just get me a typewriter. It's just kind of a better typewriter than I used to have. But I've discovered that computers can play tricks on you. I have an interesting thought this week. I typed my manuscript for this sermon early in the week. And as you can well imagine, the word fruit-bearing is in the manuscript many times. Well, I typed it, and then when I printed it out, I found out that my spell checker doesn't like the word fruit-bearing. It doesn't know the word fruit-bearing. So when I woke up the next morning to read my manuscript, my spell checker had changed every use of the word fruit-bearing to the word fruit-eating. I said, this thing is demon-possessed. It did exactly the opposite of what I was trying to say. I'm trying to teach everybody it's not about eating the fruit, it's about producing the fruit. And the computer is in league with the enemy trying to teach us the other thing. And you know what I had to do? I had to go through that manuscript and take the hyphen out of fruit-bearing so that it would print, because it will not print fruit-bearing with a hyphen. It'll change it to fruit-eating. As soon as you turn your back for 1 minute, you just turn and it's gone, and it's back up there like that. And you know, my computer is like Christians. My computer is like all of us. God created us to be fruit bearers, and we want to be fruit eaters. We want to consume all the goodness of God upon ourselves instead of using the goodness of God to bless others. And that's what fruitfulness is all about. It's the way we touch the world and other people. It's the way we minister to others. To say it the other way is that Christians are the only Christ the world will ever see. They don't see Christ without us. Christ has put it together that way. When you go into the vineyard, you don't marvel at the vine. You don't marvel at the branches. You see the fruit. But the fruit is impossible without the branch and the vine. The fruit is the evidence of the vine. The fruit is the demonstration that you are connected to the vine. And therefore, the fruit is the way you touch the world. What you do. The works that God gives you to do as a believer. Woodrow Wilson, one of our presidents, is said by some to have been the ugliest president we have ever had. And that's saying something if you've seen pictures of Abraham Lincoln. But Woodrow Wilson used to joke about it in his speeches, and had a little piece of poetry that he would read when he would get up to speak, and here's what he'd say. I know how ugly I are. I know my face ain't no star. But I don't mind it, because I'm behind it. It's the fellow in front who gets the jar. And you know, he was a great communicator. He took the thing he knew was what everybody else was thinking, and he used it as a humorous thing. But what a wonderful illustration that is for all of us. That oftentimes the people who are in front of us as Christians, they're the ones who get the jar. They see that we aren't really following Christ as we ought. And it doesn't make any sense to them. If Christ is all we say He is, shouldn't He make a difference in our life? Shouldn't we be different because we're connected to Him? I believe the Scripture tells us that we should.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have more of this tomorrow on the Friday edition of Turning Point. John 15 is a powerful portion of God's Word. And yet, it is also an encouraging portion of God's Word. God wants us to be productive, and we aren't all going to be hundredfold producers at the beginning. But He takes us where we are and leads us along the pathway to more and more productivity for Him. More about that tomorrow here on Turning Point. Be sure to read the first few verses of John 15 in preparation for tomorrow's study.
This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series Signs of Life on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.